Now, last week, we got into an area of denominations, and I was, I corrected myself, really, because I thought about it. I said, wait a minute, you know, when I got home, because I was getting the Church of God in Christ mixed up with somebody else or whatever, but, Assembly of God.
Right.
But they did have a, but this, that, what I was talking about wasn't their situation. So anyway, so I'm going to give you the correct information, okay? So it was, because I was telling you a story about a gentleman back, it was right the end of slavery. And so there was a former slave that became a preacher. Anyway, the Methodist church wouldn't allow him to preach because he was, you know, black. And so he started, and you can just look this up, he started the AME, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, okay? So it was the African, the AME church, and then the Methodist church, how they split off. And so the black people went to the African Methodist, the AME church, and then the white ones stayed with the Methodist church, okay? So that's how those denominations started, okay? And so I just think it's important to understand, and like I said last time, and I don't mince my word on that, is that you can't find it. Have anybody looked in their Bible from last week to tonight to show me where God was behind having all these different denominations? Okay. And then we saw a documentary. We went and saw this documentary. It was really good. It was about it's called, and I'll tell you, but I don't think it's in the theaters. It was only in the theaters for two nights. And so we were able to go to one of those nights. And it was called, or it is called, and maybe you can look it up and listen to it or whatever. It's called The First Hymn. And you might want to articulate, because you can articulate about that, because remember they were talking about the 3,000, so you can articulate. Right. I'll let Pastor.
It was called First Hymn, and what they did is that back in the time with the Coptic Church in Egypt, there was, during the time shortly after Jesus had passed away and gave up the ghost for us, there was the Coptic church in Egypt that wrote the first actual hymn known to mankind about Jesus and about the Lord. And they found this information, they found these scrolls with this information, with the lyrics and also the music on it. And so Tomlin, he's one of the Christian, I can't remember all the guys that was involved with it, that, you know, he sells a billion records or whatever, or a billion downloads or whatever of Christian music. Him and a bunch of others that are in the Christian music scene decided to dig into this song and chart it out, and actually to write it, and to write out the lyrics also. And they ended up producing this song and sang it for the very first time at an event not too long ago. Well, this movie was about that, about the message that was in that song. But in the process of talking about that, one of the things that they said is that because of
several educators, professors.
Right, a lot of professors and educators talking about why the church is so split up. We had just been talking about this.
Remember, we had last week, we brought up about denominations, right. So we went to go see that on, what was Thursday night?
Was it Thursday night?
Yeah, we had Wednesday night service, and then it was Thursday night, because we were actually out of town when we saw.
Okay, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Okay, we've been going too much. But anyhow, so when we saw it, they started really digging into why people don't want to come to churches. And they said the main reason that their research, and they got all these professors and all these, you know, scholars and that kind of thing that has done this research. They said the main reason why people don't want to come to Jesus Christ is because of denominations. And our mouths just dropped because We were just talking about that last week, remember? And they said, and my mouth really dropped in, and they said, because people can't decide who's right. Because they said there are 3,000 denominations. Now, how in the world are you going to figure out who's telling the truth? And so what they did when they did this music, because it is a gift to the body of Christ, and when you go to First Hymn, if you Google that, you'll hear the song it's sung, and it's a very simple kind of a song, but it's very... it's a worship song, but it's very crossover. I mean, anybody would enjoy it if they really love the Lord. But to hear them talk about, this is the main reason why people do not select to go into church or be with Jesus Christ, because it's so confusing. Who's right and who's not? And I had made a comment last week that the reason why corporations like Microsoft and many others, you call them, write them, you know, ask them, why they don't donate, Amazon and all these other large companies, is because they said it's very simple. There's too many churches. We don't know who we should give to, so we don't give to religious organizations. That's at least that's what they've said to us and said to others that have talked to us. But 3,000 denominations. And they said in so many words, that ain't of God. And so we have to realize there was no Methodist. There was no Baptist. And these people are not bad. They just have an organization that sometimes they listen to more than they listen to what God is saying in his word. That's the point that we're making. And I don't know why we're making it, to be honest with you. You know, I just fell in her.
I fell in your rabbit hole.
And
well, we didn't know last Wednesday, but then when we went to this documentary and heard them talk about this, we said, well,
that's right, we were in Linwood.
Yeah, we said, well, maybe that's why God wanted us to bring it up. And like I said, that doesn't mean people don't love God, but because of so many different denominations, they have their own creed, they have their own thing. Like, I'm thinking of one right now, and I'm not going to call out the name of this particular denomination because I'm not trying to make them look bad or anything, but this particular denomination, they don't believe in instruments, having instruments in the churches. They think that that's evil. And I actually Googled, the question was, why do they believe that?
Now, they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe that you're supposed to have instruments.
They said because it's not in the
New
Testament.
No musical instruments. Now,
musical instruments.
My question to them would be, what are you going to do with the Book of Psalms? What are you going to do with the book of Revelations?
Well, even God's coming
back.
Where
in the book
Jesus
of Revelations, here they are, they're singing around the throne. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with David who played?
And I personally, and I'll say this because like I said, I didn't say the name of that denomination, but I personally feel they're misleading the people because instruments are all in the Bible. And
I heard them.
Yeah. And even... in the New Testament. I mean, even Jesus said he's going to come back with, a shout and
the
trumpet of God. So even God's going to be playing.
So we
got to
take the trumpet from Gabriel and the rest of the guys.
So the point is that we have to be careful about what people believe, and that's why, and we're not a perfect church, but we really try to stay close to this word as possible. So we're not going to throw out something just because it, and I know even our background, we never were taught about the Holy Spirit, about speaking in tongues. It was a divided church on that because we had some Pentecostal ladies. This was a Baptist church, and we happened to belong to the same Baptist church. And so it was, we had a section of Pentecostal women, and then we had the other, the other side that didn't believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit. But we had some that did, and that's why we said we're sort of Pentecostal Baptists.
Baptist.
Because I sort of, even though I did go to a holiness church.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to a church, and this is another denomination. I'm not going to say that denomination.
You just did.
Well, I said Baptist.
You said holiness.
Holiness. I know, but I didn't tell you what denomination holiness.
Of the 3,000.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not the one we always talk about. So it's another kind of. Okay. So this holiness church, They didn't believe in, I was 18 years old, and I didn't know any difference, but they didn't, I didn't know it. I just loved Jesus, you know? And so the church, we moved, my father retired from the military, and so we moved back to California because we have a, you know, had a house there, and my mother wanted to move back. And my mother was like this, she's a Baptist woman. I'm not going to no church in Washington State until I get back home to California. And she did. She wouldn't go to no church. She was that faithful with her church. And she wouldn't go to any church in Washington State because, you know, we lived on Fort Lewis and all that. And she wouldn't go to any churches around here. But as soon as we moved back to California, I'm from the Bay Area, as soon as we moved back there, she went back to her church and her hat and everything. And so anyway, but I went to a different church. I didn't go with her. I went to a different church because I wasn't driving at the time. So I went to a church that I could just walk to. And it was a holiness church. And the first thing they said to me, I had a lady approach me. First thing she said, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be wearing fingernail polish. And you shouldn't be wearing pants. And I said, okay. I know. I said, okay. I said, because I love Jesus enough, I didn't want to disrespect them, you know, and their church. And here I was 17. Here I'm only 17 years old. And I got born again at 14. So, you know, I didn't want to disrespect, you know, anyone. And that's how I was greeted, though, at the door. Because I have fingernail polish on, I have some pants on. And so they said, that's no. So I got rid of fingernail polish. I got rid of makeup. I got rid of pants.
I wasn't there, and I'm glad. I don't know if we would have got married.
And then this denomination told me. This denomination told me, that I was baptized wrong. Now, see, I was baptized at the Baptist church I was going to, and I was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so they said, well, you were baptized wrong because you wasn't baptized in Jesus' name. So I said, okay, because I didn't know anything. You know, I wasn't really taught in my church, and so I didn't know anything. I'm young, too. And so they baptized me again. And they baptized me in Jesus' name.
Yeah, and in case you're wondering, we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.
So we cover it all.
We cover everybody.
Because I'll never forget that, you know, and they were so stern about it. I said, I don't ever want to be wrong.
You're going under.
So we said, in Jesus' name. So we're going to make sure we say in Jesus' name. And I'm going to get the Baptists in there, and I'm going to get the Pentecostal church in there.
We ain't missing nobody.
And so anyway, we can go to Romans now.
Well,
but
no,
I just wanted to
go to Ephesians. I have to be able to clear this up.
But I just wanted to clarify the AME and the meth. How did the AME start? And then that's how it started. Right. Some of you that came in late, I won't repeat it, but anyway.
Go to Ephesians chapter 4 now, because this means something. All this means something. And you'll see what it means. It says...
Wait a minute. You thought I was going to talk about the eyebrow thing.
Yeah.
Oh, the Jezebel spirit. Okay. Yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah, that one's hilarious. I lied in church, too, that day. So I'll just tell you that. Now you guys need to know why.
Huh?
Okay, so they're saying they want to know why. Because what happened was I tried to, ladies will appreciate this. Men, just put cotton balls in your ears right now. So anyway, you know, I wanted to, you know,
My
eyebrows. Oh, you know, I wanted to, my eyebrows, I wanted to, you know, just, the ladies know what I'm talking about, arch them a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, you know, I'm going to use Nair. Now, they tell you don't use that on your face. Back then, this is back in the 70s, okay? And so, I didn't care what they said on the package. So anyway, I used it. Well, I took half of my eyebrow off. So I had to go to church, and I was so embarrassed, I put a Band-Aid on there. And so this is a true story. And so the preacher that morning was preaching on the Jezebel spirit. And he actually started talking about women plucking their eyebrows and stuff. And so that's what I was trying to do. And so after church, you know, some of the ladies said, what happened to you? What happened? I said, well, you know, I just made a mistake and got some hair on my, I wouldn't tell him I was trying to pluck my eyebrows. So anyway, I mean, he was really tough
on it. I know we wouldn't have gotten
married.
I never heard
a message on the Jezebel spirit like I did on that one. So okay. He had me scared. I was scared. I said, oh, gosh.
Okay. So anyway. Now we're going to go to the scriptures. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 9. Let's put it on the screen. Let's do that, okay? Ephesians chapter 4. Now, this is important. Now, Jesus, we are celebrating this week that he ascended. Now, you got to understand this. If he didn't get out of the cross, get out of the grave, we would be dead ducks, okay? We would just be like anybody else with any other kind of dead religion. Jesus Christ is the only one that got out of the grave, spent time with his disciples. 500 at one point saw him. He spent time with his disciples. Then not only did he spend time with his disciples, he also ate with them. He did a lot of things with his disciples. Then he ascended. Now, it says here he both ascended and descended. He did ascend to be able to put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven for your sins, okay? Then he descended back down, and he came back down, and that's when he saw his disciples, okay? So now, and there's parts in there where Jesus said, don't touch me because I haven't gone to my Father. And then afterwards, he said, handle me, see? You know, there's a hole in my hand from Philip, with your doubting self. There it is. Now, this is where this starts. It says, yeah, Doubting Thomas, right. And I said Philip, sorry about that. Now, this, he ascended, quote, what does it mean but that he first descended? Now, you got to understand that Jesus had to pay the price and to be able to get you free from Satan. That's what was going on this whole time. Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the grave. He had to go somewhere. And where he went to, he descended first before he went to heaven after he rose from the dead. He descended. He literally went to hell, to Hades. There is a holding place. I've told you about this. That was the first place that God showed me when I received the vision of what about heaven and the bottomless pit, Hades, and also the lake of fire. I mean, there is a place. It's the underworld. And people are not in hell. There's nobody in the lake of fire right now. There's nobody there because judgment hasn't happened. So you say you go to hell, that doesn't mean anything, okay? Because they can't go. Maybe they will later at your advice, but they're not going to do it right now, okay? But Hades is the holding place for those that did not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The reason we're on this planet is to get to know the Lord and to be able to make him our Lord and Savior. We're going to spend this time figuring it out, and that's what we're going to read in a couple of minutes, that it's evident. So there is no excuse whether you heard the gospel or not, because actually you preach the gospel.
Yeah.
You and I, we preach the gospel just by living because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Today we had four individuals, I believe it was only four, that was on that spacecraft that took off at 6:34 Eastern time, took off and flew. They are still in space. They flew out of here, okay? They ascended, but they couldn't go as far as Jesus is going. They're going to go on the other side of the moon, the dark side of the moon, which is pretty scary to go and do, and they're going to, they're discovering this. Now, we haven't had a flight like this in 50 years or so, 52 years, actually 50 years to this month, where we went this far in space. In fact, these four men that are going, and one woman, the three men and one woman, they're going further than any human being has ever gone. We have never gone this far in space as a human being. But they didn't do what Jesus did. Jesus first descended, and the Bible says He snatched the keys to death, hell, and the grave from the devil for you. That's what he was doing between dying on the cross and raising from the dead.
Yes.
He went down to Hades and preached to those that were in that holding place. He literally preached to them. Now, you know, saying, well, how are you going to know that? Read your Bible, but you got to have some faith, too.
Yeah.
Don't read it with skepticism, because you're not going to believe anything. You're probably not even believing me right now. But I don't give a rip. I'm telling you the truth, and it's what the Bible says. So he ascended, but he first descended to the lower parts. Notice what it says. It doesn't say he descended to hell. He descended to Hades, the holding place, and that holding place is under the earth. It's really not that far. Seemed like to me when I saw it, it's like 12 to 15 feet under the earth. That's where it seems like it is. People are, they are trapped there. And this is why I say, when you do not give your life to Jesus, you think you're going to run your life like you do up here, you have no control. When this life is over, you have no control. You have no control. You don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know what's going on. You don't know, you know, you just don't know. If you do not know the Lord, you are in a dark place. And I'm not saying it's physically dark, but it may be, but it's a dark place. You can't see what's going to happen. Anyhow, he first descended, but he also ascended. Now, he did that for a reason. And this is why we're trying to say this. Because if he descended and ascended, why did he do that? Next verse, verse number 10, it says, he did that. Is there something wrong with that machine? We're going to buy you another one. I'm so tired of things taking forever. He who ascended also is the one who ascended far above the heavens. He went farther than our astronauts are going right now. Far above the heavens, that he might fill all things, that he could fulfill all things, we could say. Next verse, I'm getting to the point now. Well, when he left, he gave. When he left, he released. When he left, he had to leave somebody in charge of what's going on around here.
That's good.
And see, this is why people play down. I was watching the Supreme Court today and watching how they argue. Everything they referred to had nothing to do with the scriptures. And they wouldn't quote scripture. They quote case law. That's what they quoted again and again and again. This is a big case going on right now, done in June. They'll probably have an answer in June as to whether if you come over here and have a baby, does that baby get U.S. citizenship just because you came over? Because right now we got about 1.5 million people that have come over here from China especially and had babies because they have a plan. The government has found out they have a plan to take over this nation by having these babies grow up and be still committed to China. And so you got to understand, the enemy will wait a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, September 11th was planned for a long time. They got some plans going on right now. The enemy, he takes his time to be able to do his evil.
An opportune time, as the Bible
that's
says.
Right. That's right. That's what happened with Jesus.
He looks for an opportune time.
Luke 4, Matthew 4. So now, here's what it says. He gave some. Now, he took off. But he gave at the same time. He said, okay, I can see him going, and bling. He's go now. You know, and all the callings come upon apostles. Yeah. Apostles are special messengers. I will be operating as an apostle, not as a pastor, when we go from city to city, It's part of my calling. It was part of my father in the face calling. He's Apostle Price. He launched into it late in his ministry. But he was called to that. And you look at me cross-eyed. I don't really give a rip. But that I will be operating in that area where there's a special message that comes out of the apostle, and he helps to establish churches. We're helping to spawn. We want to see churches get spawned in these cities. Okay. That we go there, and there's a whirlwind when we leave. And the Spirit of God calls somebody to pastor, and we can help them to be able to do it. I'm not going to be doing it. And so I don't know exactly if we're going to send people to do it. But we will inspire people to be able to do what God is calling them to do. We're already getting response from different cities. People want to be part of this. But an apostle is a special messenger and establishes churches, travels and establishes churches. Then he, this is what he gave. He gave some apostles. Not everybody that's preaching is an apostle. Then he gave some prophets. Those are inspired messengers that operate by unction. The Spirit of God will come on them and they have something from the Lord. You need to listen to the prophet when the prophet is speaking by the Spirit of God. Because if you do not, you will live what they're saying because you didn't take either the warning, the heeding, or the direction. Sometimes it's just inspiration. Sometimes it's correction. Sometimes it's inside. The prophet's words will not hit the ground. If they're a true prophet, the way you know that's a prophet is that you know that what they say come to pass. If they don't have anything come to pass, the Bible says don't even be afraid of them. Don't concern yourself with them. But a prophet, when they speak, because they speak by the unction of God, and it's not always all the time, Jesus left and he knew we needed apostles, but we needed more than that. We needed prophets that were inspired. They don't have the word all the time. They're inspired with this special inspiration of prophetic word, and you really should listen to them. I had to learn how to live with a prophet. I had to, because there's times when I'm talking about my wife, she is a prophetess. And there's times when she would say things, and I'm like, oh, blow it out your ear. I don't know what you're talking about. And then come back around, man, I'm dealing with it. Kathy, well, what are we going to do with this? I tried to tell you, Don. Well, you should have told me the Lord was saying it. And I still say that sometimes. And she's not that type of person. Thus says the Lord, Donnie. She doesn't do that. But you need to learn to listen to the prophet, because the prophet will say things and then it'll come to pass. They're not putting anything on you like a soothsayer or a magician or whatever. They are just telling you, they're seers. They can see down the road what's going on.
As simple as don't take the medicine. You don't need it.
Please. See, that's true. And I went into the doctor the other day.
Even when she had the needle getting ready, I said, you don't need that.
Yeah, I know. I remember.
But I didn't scream and say, you know.
I went to the doctor the other day, and health is excellent. God has just restored everything. Just perfect health. No medicine. I'm on nothing. No blood pressure medicine. Nothing. Take vitamin B12. And the devil ain't, I bind him in Jesus' name, every retaliating demon to try to change that in Jesus' name. You're bound in Jesus' name. And the doc started saying, you know, you might try that GLP-1. You know, because, you know, I'm trying to lose a few, you know. I lost 97 when I was having malabsorption, you know, I was malabsorption. My body would not absorb what I ate, so I started eating everything, and I kept doing that. My body got healed. I kept doing all that. And nobody told me, hey, Don. Yeah. And so anyhow, and I said, so tell me about that. What does it do? And he said, well, GLP-1, well, basically all it does is it causes you chemically to trick yourself in your mind. I said, I don't need that. It causes you to think that you're not hungry. I said, well, now, isn't that something? Because, see, I've been on some crazy medicine that make you think something's weird, you know? And I said, so isn't that sort of weird that you are hungry, but your body is being told you're not hungry? Because and then she said, you don't need that, Don. I remember, here we go again.
Just tell yourself I said, you're not hungry.
I said, this, that's exactly what I said.
Just tell yourself said, you're not hungry. You don't need to eat.
I said, if all you do is tell yourself you're not hungry, just I'm going to tell myself I'm not hungry. And if I am hungry, I'm going to go to bed and drink some water. I ain't thinking about it. I'm not going to do it. Because I don't want anything to alter my mind. But what was the big deal about that? Here she's saying the same thing. You don't need that, Don. Now, she didn't say, thus says the Lord. You really... You really don't need that. No, she's just saying, you know, you don't need that. Prophetic, you got to learn how to, but prophecies are judged usually if they come forth in the church, especially by tongues. Anyhow, I won't go too far in that. Okay, evangelists. Those are missionaries. We work with evangelists. God had us get experience with evangelists all over this country and actually sending them out of the country into the Middle East. That's why I understand Middle East culture. We worked with evangelists for over a year, sending them into churches and they have the ability to be able to operate with all this miracles and signs and wonders and all these kinds of things to draw a crowd because they're going to get people saved.
Anybody remember John Jacobs and the power team? That was way back in the, so we traveled with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we set up all their crusades and
yep. Yeah. Yeah, I was the marketing guy getting involved with him.
Yeah, he was real popular back then.
Yeah,
charismatic movement,
yeah.
I guess.
And Kathy was his personal secretary. We worked in his office when they were in Bellevue. So anyhow, that's an evangelist. Billy Graham, okay? Benny Hinn. These are evangelists. And no matter how much, Henry Hinn, no matter how much they try to have a church, they're really called to travel. And really, actually, Jesse Duplantis is an evangelist, okay? If you go to his ministry, you'll see his wife is really running that church because he's on the road so much. He is going so much. I mean, they have two jets, one for her, one for him, and they have to use them. They need them. They need those jets. And he needs a jet that has three engines on it, like the one he's got. It's because he travels a lot. That's an evangelist. Some pastors. The pastor is the ring finger. He's committed. He's not going to be moving. He's going to be staying right there, taking care of you. And he may have some of these other callings in him, like I do as a teacher, as well as apostle, as part of my calling as well. So the pastor is just there. That pastor, every person needs a pastor. Every evangelist needs a pastor, the prophet needs a pastor, the apostle needs a pastor, the pastor needs a pastor, and the teacher needs a pastor. Everybody needs to be under a pastor because the pastor should be settled and sort of can keep you your feet on the ground. When things start getting blessed in your life and bless your socks off, he's the one to say, now, don't get all into that money now. You know, it's just temporary. Just hang on. God's good. You receive the healing.
And people really need to use their pastors more. You know, more often, because sometimes they'll make decisions after, you know, and then they say, oh, no, and then they come to you,
yeah.
And then they say, pastor's order, I'm in trouble. So why didn't you come to me before you got in trouble, before you made that major decision? Because sometimes you just need
someone.
Sometimes
they don't want to hear the truth.
Yeah, and sometimes people don't want to hear the truth because we've had that happen. You know, over the years, we've been pastoring over 30-something years, and we've had people that won't come to us when they get married, getting ready to get married to somebody. And so we've had all different kind of situations. And we're here, you know, to really love on the people and keep them settled and all that kind of stuff. And so I don't know why you won't use that gift, really, from the Lord, because... You know, sometimes people are afraid, well, you know, I don't want to tell you that because, you know, it'll make me feel embarrassed or something. Believe me, we've heard everything. No one can shock us about anything. No, I'm serious. Over 35-something years, believe me, we have heard everything. I mean, every part of life, you know. And so... at least I think we've heard everything. Maybe something's missing, but I don't know.
We're starting to hear repeats
now. I don't know. But anyway, but also you have to trust your pastor. Sometimes, well, I don't want to. Believe me, your business won't go out in this church. We've been doing it for so many years. And so, but if you trust your leadership and really believe they're rooting for you and want the best for you, then you'll use that a gift from God. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the pastor's there as the ring finger. And you can look at it in that kind of way. But anyhow.
The shepherd to Jesus.
Right. Because
the chief shepherd.
It's the chief shepherd that's going to take over. He's not really going to be looking for the apostles to turn the sheep over or the prophet or the evangelist or even the teacher. The teacher, it's the pastor. Jesus is not the chief prophet. He's not coming back as the chief evangelist. He's coming back as the pastor. So you really need to use your pastor. And I'm saying that as a pastor, but you know, if you don't have me as your pastor, use your other pastor. Whatever. Anyhow, pastors and teachers. Okay? Everybody got that? Okay.
Yep.
Teachers. There are called teachers that are called to just teach the word of God. Now, the pastor is supposed to be apt to teach or able to teach.
Yeah.
You cannot be a pastor and can't teach people.
Right.
So if you don't know how to teach the word of God, I'm talking about the word of God.
Right.
You can't hear from the Holy Spirit to teach the people.
Right.
You don't need to be a pastor because you're going to,
I remember a man came to you one time. He was a pastor in the church.
Yeah, I know.
And he came to Pastor Shorter, and because he would start coming to our church, you know, and then he still had his church. And then he said to you, I'll never forget, he said, how in the world do you come up with all these sermons? And we knew right then, said, oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't know if this person's called to be a pastor, because God will give you what the sheep needs, you know. And so it's not hard to come up with, because you're not coming up with something. You really do pray, and God really does give you an unction of what he wants the people to know.
Right.
And really it's him that.
This is the only thing besides concordance or something like that. We do not go buy little books at the bookstore. You can go to a Christian bookstore and buy books that will give you sermons. You get what the Holy Spirit gives us. That's it. That's all you get. If God didn't give it to me, and you could see for that period of time that I wasn't receiving anything, I had nothing to say either.
Yeah, that's true.
So you know I ain't going to say nothing unless I'm supposed to say it.
Yeah.
I sat there and looked at y'all, and you looked at me, and I looked at you, and you looked at me, and I looked at you, and you looked at me. And then we went home. I ain't say nothing. You ain't say nothing. I ain't say nothing. You ain't say nothing. I wasn't going to say nothing. You wasn't going to say nothing. So I just looked at you. You looked at me, and I looked at you. We did that for 6.5 years. And some of you literally know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Because you came to our first lady and said, I'm scared to look at him. He looks funny. And I got some photos.
I'm not going to call any names.
I got some photos. I'm going to show you what I did look like. I looked like my grandfather.
I have one now, leader. I'll never forget my leader. You snapped at this leader, and the leader turned to me and said, I'm not talking to him again. I said, you're just going to have to forgive him right now.
Well, what would you act like if you got dosed up with some old crazy drugs?
Well, some
against
people,
your will.
Some of you been on alcohol and drugs, and you know you acted a
yeah.
fool. You know that. You remember
yeah,
that those days.
Wrecked that car.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's teachers. There's called teachers. Now, I read through this to give us a runway to see where we're going. Look at the next verse, verse 12. What was all that for? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. For the equipping of the saints. Jesus is out of here. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Remember, he ascended. After he descended, he ascended. And he called these five areas of ministry to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, not for vacationing. You're not supposed to come into church and just sit here and vacation and make imprints on the seats. You're supposed to be coming in here, receiving the word of God so you can work.
Yeah.
We got work to do.
That's true.
Now, you stand around long enough, I'll give you something to do.
Because
we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of things. God ain't, he won't stop talking. He keeps telling us more and more stuff to do. So it's for the equipping of the saints. So we have to make sure it's like when the military, you go in the military. Anybody ever go to basic training? Any military people in here? You went through basic training? Okay. You ain't come in there and bring your BB gun. Nope. They gave you all your equipment you needed. Okay. They didn't rely on you to be able to buy even the shoes. They bought your shoes. They gave you the helmet. They gave you the bayonet. They gave you everything that you were supposed to have. Well, that's how it is in the body of Christ. You come in here, we're supposed to equip you. You're supposed to be walking out of here ready for battle. Instead of walking out here hoping the devil ain't shooting no more. There's no more bullets in his gun. Well, that's a nice wish, but that ain't happening. He's still like he's in World War II. So it is for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the work of the ministry, for the work of the ministry. Get to work. You see me with elbows and back of the head, all you see me doing, I'm working, she's working. A lot of people in here working. Let's all work. And everybody saying, I'm working. Yeah, I work. I got three jobs. I got four jobs.
You're talking to the choir in here, because most of you have about three jobs in this church.
Yeah, I do. Now, for what? Why do we do the work of the ministry? And also for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher is not here to hurt you. He's here to build you up, to edify you. It's like an edifice being built to edify the body of Christ. That's why we bring different ministers in to be able to minister. And we have different ministers here that minister so that you can be built up. It's like an edifice being built. And so-and-so will come there, and they'll help you get new window panes, and somebody else come through, and they put new carpet in. I'm talking about, you know, in a way like we're building you up, like a building for the body of Christ, edifying of the body of Christ, edifying of the body of Christ. Get built up. Be built up. Don't walk out of here without, if you don't receive what we are trying to equip you with, you'll walk out of here as if you got no build up. You should come out of this place better than you came into this place. That's what this is all about. If you know, this should be the happiest place on earth. Because some of the sad sacks come in this door. Some people in bad shape. And then God fixes them up. Come on now. He builds them up. I'm not doing it. He's doing it. Okay, next verse, and we're done. We're going to have to leave this alone. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith. So we are not with 3,000 denominations in the unity of the faith. So what do we need? We need the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher to keep working, building us up, equipping us, getting us ready, till we all come to the unity of the faith. We are not in unity. There are Christians that don't believe that in healing. There are other Christians that don't believe you're supposed to have instruments in here. They'd walk in and walk out if they came to this church. You're not supposed to have instruments here. We work with a church where men were not allowed to have facial hair. I mean, they could have eyebrows, but they couldn't have any beard or mustache. You know, we worked with a denomination, and we was over there to help them. And they asked us to help them to get free. Here's the problem. Some of them got free. For example, one of the ladies got free, several of them, and started losing weight and left their husbands. Yeah. They got free all right.
Yeah. Yep, they start putting makeup free on and fixing themselves up. And
you know, because they were long hair, no long makeup. Dress, no makeup. Yeah. Come on now, yeah. Eyebrow half off, you know, and all that stuff. They all try to use dare. No, only our first lady did that. Okay, thank you. I need more. Only our first lady tried to use nair on her eyebrows.
Some of you guys need to laugh right now. I mean, you really need, no, the Lord's putting this in my heart. You really need to let yourself laugh, because some people never laugh, they never cry, they never, and the Lord's put in my heart, the scripture says laughter is like medicine. Yeah. And some of you guys need that medicine that's tied to that scripture. Yeah. And not only here tonight, but at other times where maybe you're in, you know, a group of people, and it's not no dirty jokes, but just something that's funny. You need to allow yourself to laugh, because you need that medicine that's tied to that scripture. Okay, the Lord just put that on my heart to
all
tell
right.
you that.
All right, let's just take that. Take that as a dose. So we need to get in the unity of faith, and that's the reason why we say God can't be in all these denominations. So I said all that to say that. So you got to understand that in order for Jesus to come, He's waiting for all of this to happen. For us to be in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of Man, and a perfect man, the church, the body of Christ, to be like one man.
But guess when you read that, guess what came to my heart?
What's that?
That he gave gifts to men.
Right.
He didn't give denominations. Mm. He gave
the
gifts
men
to
men. Gave
men.
The denominations.
Men came up with denominations, and that's just the truth. Is man-made denominations. And I told you how those two Methodist churches started. It started because of a division, not unity, division, where they wouldn't let, you know, that former slave to preach in their church, and then they split off, and that's how the AME started. So it wasn't unity, it was division that started, that separated. And so it's you know, it's just, it's man-made. It's just the truth. And some of you, it may be painful to some of you, because you know, there's people that say, I'm a Baptist and I'm always a Baptist. I'm a Catholic. Like, I'm all, you know, and, you know,
and
sometimes.
Saying, I'd like to be able to come back again.
And, you know, sometimes people will say that.
They
will exalt that nomination over God. They will say, I'm a Baptist.
I'm a Catholic.
How about being that fanatic about Jesus? Say, I'm a Christian, you know, instead of saying, you know, and actually there was, we just passed by this church. We went to dinner on Sunday. We passed by a church and a big old sign just says Chinese and the name of their denomination, Chinese. And I said, well, I feel ostracized already because I'm not Chinese. So do you want me to come in? Can I be a part of that?
Mm-hmm.
See, and so we separate, and how we're going to come in a unity of the faith. We're not talking about faith, the word of faith type of thing with not the word of faith, but we're not talking about a non-denominational type of faith, if you, as it were. We're talking about faith in Jesus, faith in God, where we just, our faith is in the Lord, and God's telling us. Now, once again, we're not saying that people that are part of different denomination, they don't love God. We're not saying they're not called by God, the preachers that are preaching. So we're not saying none of that. We're saying just strictly, how did all this stuff come about? And so if you read history, you'll find out how the different denominations came about.
Right.
Okay?
So, and you know, two things in my heart. You should be thankful for the church that you go to.
Amen.
You really should be. I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to get you all to say nothing about us, but you should really be thankful.
But there's some advantages. I mean, because non-denominational churches like ours, you better use your faith everything. Because you can't call headquarters and say, hey, we need, you know, to
Would
meet
you
our
cover
budget.
Our salary this month?
Or we need to meet the budget. Or, hey, help us to build this church. This church was built just by the faithfulness of people. Tithing and giving. That's the truth. We didn't sell not right. one chicken dinner. We did not have any car washes. We did not have any
nope.
rummage sales.
Nope.
It was strictly by people giving. And if you talk to everybody that gave while we were building this church, they will say, I am not broke, but I'm blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say a big amen? I got one lady over there saying amen behind that camera. So, and it was faith. We just trusted God. We didn't have no one else to lean on. We ran out of money at one point, and building this church, and we had people drive by, even some of his family members that's part of a denomination, and saying, see, I told you, you're not going to be able to finish that building. I mean, it got around in the family, you know, how families talk and gossip, and these were preachers doing this. Instead of coming over and saying, what can I do to help you? Hey, I can sow some money into your building project. They criticized him. Now, I'm not calling no names. I ain't going to tell you what side of family, who they are, how they're related to him. See, that's love. That's love. I don't want to make them look bad. So anyway, so they just, but God, the final word was with the Lord.
Okay.
And we didn't sell our soul to Satan to do anything
That's
crooked,
right.
and we just trusted God. We
That's
said,
right.
well, God's going
to
have to provide because he told us to build this church. And I am so strong about this because I said, what we did do, we built a house for the Lord. We didn't build us a house. We didn't profit off anything, but we can say we built a house for God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right, sister. Go with me to Romans 10 and 8. Because the Lord said, well, might as well do the whole thing. You know. Now, I want to show you why we preach faith. Because this is Paul writing in the book of Romans. He wrote to the church at Rome. That's what we're studying. We're Romans chapter 1 right now. Haven't even read a scripture there until now. But it says, what does it say? This is Romans 10 and 8. The word is near you. Now, I will tell you the truth. I've told this story for many years, even before we had this church, that when God called me, I heard that again and again for 3 days. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. The word is near you. The word is near you. I heard it with a high voice, a low voice. I kept hearing it again and again. It just drove me nuts. The word is near you. 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 The word, the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. I was like, okay. And then the Lord was like, I've called you to preach. The word is near you. 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 The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. In your mouth and in your heart. The word is near you. I got so tired of hearing this for 3 days. And then I looked up the scripture and it says, the word is near you in your mouth and your heart. That is the word of faith, not the word of unbelief, not the word of worry, not the word of problems. But it is the word of faith. Word of faith, the word of faith is not a denomination. It is what we live by. We live by faith. Amen. The just shall live by faith. Yes. So we live by the word that comes to us. What is it supposed to be? The word of doubt? We live by the word of faith. We preach the word of faith. So whenever we're preaching, even though there may be correction in there first, the last thing you're going to hear is some kind of faith to be able to take that and believe God for something. So we can't please God without faith. So this is in the Bible. This is in everybody's Bible. They got a Bible. It says what we're supposed to preach. We're not supposed to preach just anything. Of course we preach the kingdom of God and preach the gospel. But Paul said it is near you in your mouth and your heart. What's in your mouth and your heart? I spent 3 days listening to that and then read the scripture and said the word of faith which we preach. Now I like to ask people, if that's the word that Paul preached, what are you preaching? It's the word of faith which we preach. We're going to preach the word of faith. Criticize, talk about us, say we're all this and that and all the other things. We're going to preach the word of faith. So when we get done saying something, even though we go through a lot of ways to get to the end of it, the last thing you're going to find, you need faith for that. Amen. So God's word brings faith. Amen. And that's what we should be using. Now, there are people that have turned away from this. Go to Romans chapter 1 now, and let's look at verse number 21. Because this is where we were going to start, but we got detoured by another lady here that's sitting next to me again. She keeps detouring this whole service. Are you still here? We're going to read a little bit of something. Can you read this? My time is up, but I'm going to read it anyhow. It says,
what is it, Romans
1:21. It's time to go home, just about. Okay. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him, capital H, as God. That's the worst thing you can do. I believe, God put this in my heart this morning, that you need to start an obedience bank. You need to start a bank of obedience where you can draw on that when you need some help from God. That you can say, God, I've been serving you. God, I've been listening to your voice. Lord, I've been following you. Lord, you told me. God, I'm listening to the word. I'm listening to that preacher. You told me in prayer. Your word said, and I followed it. You and I need a bank, I'm talking like a bank account that's full of obedience. Because he showed me this. 2 Kings chapter number 20. Go to check 2 Kings chapter 20 and look at verse number 2 or 3. When Hezekiah was hit like your pastor was hit, he called on his bank. He turned his face to the wall when the prophet Isaiah came in and said, pack your bags, get your house in order. You are about to die. His life flashed in front of him, and he turned his face to the Lord, saying, watch this now, remember now, don't remember next week, but remember right now, oh Lord, I pray how I have, that's obedience bank. Amen. I have walked before you in truth.
That's true.
If you don't have it, you don't have it. You got to start banking some obedience. Oh, I'm telling the truth. We have to learn how to bank obedience because you're going to have to draw on that obedience to be able to get God's favor. His mercy. Come on now. It says, This is Hezekiah. He's saying, now he's already got a death sentence. Pack your bags, buddy. You are out of here. And he turned his face to the wall and said, Lord, I've walked before you in truth with a loyal heart. I have done. I have done obedience, babe. I have done what was good in your sight. Forget about everybody else the way they see it. I did it right in your sight. Forget how I feel about it. I did it according to your will. And Hezekiah, it was the three things he did. Four. He turned to the wall. He told the Lord that I have, and then he wept. God saw the tears too. Now, but if all you do is weep, he ain't seeing nothing in your bank. We have to start loading that bank up. So I ask you to go home tonight. Here's your assignment. Go home tonight. Find out what obedience looks like for you. You counselors always talking to you psychological counselors and Christian counselors always talking about, now, Lib, tell me, what does that look like? You know, you heard the counselors say, let's find
put
out what that looks like.
It.
Yeah, put a face on it. What's that look like? It looks like you working in the kingdom. It looks like you following what God's saying. It looks like you not arguing with the Lord. So we need to know what God has for us to do. Your assignment. And it's not a mission impossible. And this microphone will not self-destruct when I'm done. But your mission, if you accept it, is to go home and ask God with a truthful heart, God, where am I missing it in obedience? Sure got quiet in this Presbyterian church. I guess we are part of the denominations. See, we have to really say, where am I missing it? Because, see, your past needs to help you in the future.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now. Yeah. The Lord put it in my heart this way. How many of you watch your kids act a fool and then come and ask you for a bicycle? And what'd you say? You want a what?
Use the car.
Yeah,
right?
Can I use the car?
Can I have the keys?
We can't even trust you around the house with the cookie jar. What are you talking about? You want the keys. We can't trust you to be able to cut the grass when it's supposed to get cut. I mean, you slam the dishes around. You know, you broke two cups last week. And now you want the car keys? See, because we look at their bank.
Yes, that's true.
I know I did it with my kids. And you know, when they were good, hey, let's go. We're going to Disneyland this summer. Come on, let's go. We're going to Wild Waves. We're going to have a great time. But when, you know, I ain't say nothing when the bank was empty. That obedience bank needs to be filled. You need to have it full, not because you have to, but because, first of all, you love God. You're willing and obedient because you love God. Next of all, because you want to be able to have something to draw on.
Amen.
Look at the next verse and I'll leave you alone.
And I don't want to take us to another scripture, but we can go to another scripture. I'm thinking about the prophet Elijah. Remember when he went to the lady that her husband had died and he was a prophet. And she said exactly that.
That's
my husband served you.
That's right.
You know,
and so
and
now
what are you going to do?
They're
going to
take my son and put
me?
Him in
right.
debtor's prison
and
because.
And he said, what do you have in your house? I think that's the
that's
same.
That's right.
Yeah.
What do you have in your house?
Yeah.
In other words,
but
okay.
She but banked
she
her husband's
she had an obedience
faithfulness
from her husband.
But you know what? That leads right here, and I know we have to close, but that leads. Some of you are keeping your family alive. In some case, physically too, because you're praying. And you're keeping that family going forward because of your prayers. And sometimes sometimes people think they're getting away with, well, nothing happened to me. Well, that's because you don't know. Your spouse is praying,
that's
praying
right.
for you.
Stand in God's face.
So you didn't lose your life or you didn't,
right.
you know, and some children too. They're thinking they're getting away with something, and it's because of the
it's
prayers
the
of their parents,
their
or
parents.
Grandparents
uh-huh.
that are praying, and we're praying for people, like intercessory prayer. My intercessors know this. We're praying for the congregation, and sometimes they think, well, you know, nothing happened. That's because we're praying. We're putting a covering over you.
Yeah.
Really, and we need to thank God for people that have prayed for us. And now you're, some of you are sitting in this church tonight because your mother prayed for you, or your grandmother, or your great-great-grandmother prayed for, you know, the generation that's coming after.
That's true.
And so, you know, our prayers are very powerful. The Bible says that in 1 Peter. I think it's 1 Peter around there where it says the prayer of a righteous person avails much.
No, that's James chapter 5. Chapter 5.
Yeah, James.
Okay. But here's the thing. And it happened. Say it happened.
It happened.
It's time to happen for you. Say something's happening.
Something's happening.
Don't say happening. Say happening. Say it like you got some slang on you. You tried to get it off. Happening. Something's happening. Because it happened before Isaiah had gone into the middle court. In other words, it ain't that far from here to maybe where the foyer is. God stopped him, said, wait a minute now, wait a minute. He done pulled out his obedience bank. And I got to do something because this boy's been obedient. He reminded me that he's been serving me all this time. And the Lord said to him, go back. Now, I'm going to read this and we're going to be done. Really, we are. Verse number 20 and chapter 20 and verse number 5. Return and tell Hezekiah. And now he's calling him a leader. The leader of my people. Thus says the Lord, the God of David and your father, I have heard your prayer. You just talked about them prayers. I have heard your prayer and have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you, and on the third day you shall go up into the house of the Lord. And Hezekiah couldn't even believe it. He said, now you're going to have to show me a sign. Because it's bad, and I've been in bad shape. And I sort of didn't believe it either, because he gave me the Hezekiah miracles when this woman and all y'all was praying. Some of you were praying. Others of you were just looking.
I'm going to give you that scripture, too. So, yeah, amen. That's true. It's in James 5:16, and it says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man
or woman.
Or woman avails much. And I like it in the Amplified because it goes, but you know, we're not going to teach that, but I just wanted to give that scripture
you
that correction.
Are in, you should be
praise God for this word
you
tonight.
You should be so thankful. God's got
man,
you so covered.
I tell you, praise
you
the Lord.
You are so blessed. Did you hear what I said? You are so blessed. God is protecting you.
God loves us.
And I love what
he
God says
us.
In his
he
word.
Wants the best for
Isaiah
us.
1:18
really
and 19.
Does.
Though your sins be like scarlet, though they be like this, don't I'll stay away from me because of that.
Snow.
I'll make it white as snow. If you're willing and obedient, you eat the best.
Yeah.
You receive the best.
Yeah.
You deserve the best. I said you deserve the best. I said you deserve the best. Because Jesus died on the cross to cover all that mess. And this week we celebrate that in Jesus'
praise
name. Say
God.
Amen. Come on, give
amen.
God a hand clap of praise once again in Jesus' name.
Woo.
Father, we seal this word.
Yes.
Cause it to reverberate,
yes.
Bounce back and forth in their hearts. Cause them to hear it again and again and again. Cause them to help to apply it to their lives in Jesus' name. And we'll give the glory because we're victorious through you and your word that brings faith. In Jesus' name, we call it done. Amen. Now,
amen.
Let's make a confession and say, I am an obedient child.
An obedient child.
God,
right now.
I'm filling my obedience bank
with
obedience
by my actions.
God, I'm not just saying it.
I'm
doing it. I'm going to be obedient to you, God. And as I fill my obedience bank,
I know
you will give me even more favor, more mercy. Thank you, Lord, that I can call on my obedience before you, and you will hear me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, thank God. Come on, go home, get yourself a piggy bank. Call it your obedience bank, and every time you start doing something that's obedient, just drop a quarter in there or something. Just get yourself over the system.
Praise God.
Okay? Praise God.